Vision Christian Radio bumper stickers are a practical way to show the world how much you love Vision. New stickers are available now. Choose the I Love Vision sticker or your local frequency and proudly display your affiliation with Australia's National Christian Radio Network. It's more than just a sticker, it's a statement. And might help someone you'll never meet discover Vision and start looking to God daily. Whether you're parked or cruising through town, Vision bumper stickers will turn heads and spark conversations. Stick it, show it, and let everyone know you're tuned to Vision. Available now at vision.org.au/stickers. Order your Vision bumper sticker today. realfaith.org.au.
30 years ago, we participated in that students' movement in the Tiananmen Square when millions of citizens came to the street telling the Chinese Communist Party, enough is enough. We were really just trying to call for a more democratic, freer country with less corruption. And little did we know, we would be met with bullies, with real tanks and machine guns.
Welcome to Real Faith, conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's Real People, Real Life and Real Faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Bob Fu is one of the leading voices for the persecuted faith communities in China. He's the founder and president of China Aid, an organization founded in the United States, which exists to expose human rights abuses in China. Bob was born and raised in mainland China and was a student leader during the 1989 Tiananmen Square demonstrations for democracy and freedom. We're going to find out his story today. Bob Fu, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Erica, for having me.
Glad to have you with us, and we're going to find out about the activities that occurred during Tiananmen Square and then how you came to faith after that. But first, let's find out, what was life like growing up in mainland China under communism?
Yeah, growing up under communism, I think the first striking thing was we had been educated as atheism, follower of Marxism. And from my childhood, in every textbook, all the way to the graduate school, we were always taught that there is no God, and God is just a tool invented by the Western imperialist as an opium to numb the Chinese people. So that was my kind of education background. And I was raised, of course, in a very poor family. My mother was a beggar. My father was a disabled man. And you can imagine how much social status we had.
Yeah.
So we were always bullied. And so a deep sense of change was planted in my heart. So I was always thinking how to really have my family being treated equally with some dignity, even under that communist system. And so that's why in 1989, when the students' movement started, I, along with many other students, I organized the first protest in my university and the city, and then brought a group of students to the Tiananmen Square in Beijing and occupied part of the square for a peaceful protest.
Can we just back up a moment? Now, you said that you were from a very poor background, but yet you were able to go to university?
Yes, at that time, the Chinese Communist Party still offered a kind of free education for the university, especially for those of us who were entered into the college, the university, to be future teachers, because teachers in China were treated with very low salary. So we were kind of compensated in the university with a free education.
And when you were going to university, did you even know about democracy and freedom, the Western kind of values? I mean, that was what you were protesting for, but how did you even know about that?
I actually learned a lot from both my own experience, of course, and from what happened at the time in the former Soviet Union. Actually, Mr. Gorbachev was my first teacher.
Is that right?
Of enlightenment. In that sense, of course, I, myself and my family had firsthand experience the terrible dictatorship would imply to your family. I mean, my mother was almost dead during the so-called Great Starvation time in 1958 to 1960, where the brutal dictator Chairman Mao engaged that so-called Great Leap Forward moment that cost at least 20 million Chinese died of starvation.
Wow.
And so I noticed even under communist system, if you're poor, if you're not catching up with the political class, and you would be treated miserably. But freedom, you know, is always in your heart that you want to have, at least to be treated with some equality. And then I started reading some of the writings by Gorbachev, you know, who was a former communist and then became a kind of more a humanist. So I followed his path, and when he wrote that famous book called Reform and Openness.
Okay, so that kind of gave you the idea. And so you and your fellow students began to protest. So what was it like in Tiananmen Square?
Yeah, it's been over 30 years ago. We participated in that students' movement in the Tiananmen Square, which literally can be translated as the gate of heavenly peace. And when millions of citizens, students, workers, and intellectuals came to the street, basically telling the Chinese Communist Party, enough is enough. We were really just trying to call for a peaceful transition, for a more democratic, freer country with less corruption. So that was the slogan at the time. And little did we know, we would be met with bullets, with real tanks and machine guns, and that hundreds, if not thousands, of lives were murdered, I mean, massacred. So that was a big turning point to my life and to many, many millions of Chinese lives.
So how did that feel? I mean, here you had this optimism. There was a feeling that maybe freedom was going to come to China, and then it was just squashed, like you said. How did that make you feel?
Yeah, I remembered that right after the massacre, I was in our university campus and watching one of my fellow comrades who crawled out of the Tiananmen Square with the blood still on his shirt and barefooted, and crying out to the sky, basically said, "They did shoot, they did shoot," with absolute despair and unbelief, because we have never thought the so-called people's government would send its own so-called People's Liberation Army to shoot its own people with the machine guns and tanks. So that was the kind of experience I had, and then I was treated like a criminal, being investigated, interrogated day and night, until really I became aware of the Christian faith. That was the time I was converted to be a follower of Christ.
Yeah, how did that come about? I mean, at the time, Christianity was kind of illegal, but legal in state churches, is that right?
It was kind of restricted, but legal in the government-sanctioned churches. But I did not know about God and Christ in that setting. I came to know the Lord after one of my classmates who handed me a booklet, which was smuggled in by our American English teachers who were secret missionaries from Hong Kong. And I read that testimony of a Chinese pastor and then became a follower of Jesus Christ. So that was my faith experience.
So I imagine you were feeling very disillusioned after what happened in Tiananmen
Absolutely.
Square.
Yeah.
So you were kind of searching at that point in your life. Is that true?
Yeah, I was so disillusioned and, you know, in despair, basically, because I was thinking I could be sent to prison or even fired, dismissed from university. I would rather die than being in prison as a political prisoner, because that means none of my family members, none of my villagers, my fellow people in my county have any future, just because one people is regarded as a political prisoner. So I was thinking to commit suicide, really.
I feel
there's no way until that moment when God really found me during that moment by having me read that testimony of a Chinese pastor. So my life was totally changed and transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Our guest today is Bob Fu, who is one of the leading voices for persecuted Christians in China. He's the founder and president of China Aid, an organization which exists to expose human rights abuses in China. He's also the author of the book, God's Double Agent, the true story of a Chinese Christian's fight for freedom. We'll hear more of Bob's story when we return right here on Real Faith.
Looking for resources to grow your faith? Check out Vision Christian Store with books, movies, audio CDs, DVD resources, and more. Plus, free delivery on orders over $50. See visionstore.org.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and today I'm chatting with Bob Fu. He's the founder and president of China Aid, an organization which exists to expose human rights abuses in China. Before the break, we heard how Bob became a Christian in China after the government brutally cracked down against the student demonstrations for freedom in 1989. Now we'll find out what happened next in his life as he continued at university.
I finished my undergraduate and then went to my graduate school in Beijing, and at the same time, I already joined the Chinese underground house church movement, where already there are millions of believers at that time. Mm-hmm. But 1989, the Tiananmen massacre, it was a tragic event, and politically, legally, the Chinese Communist Party should be held accountable, still need to be held accountable for that massacre. Mm-hmm. I think in the secular media, little was paid attention on the spiritual perspective. That year actually also marked the start of the largest spiritual revival among the Chinese intellectuals.
Is that right?
And before 1989, there's rarely a Chinese intellectual who believe in Christ from university, students. I was regarded as the first generation of Chinese Christian in the whole university. That year marked a big revival and continues. There are millions and millions of Chinese students and professors, lawyers, and public intellectuals had come to Christ after 1989. And in my university alone, the church was even planted, and in the past 20 plus years, over 10,000 students were baptized.
Wow. So here they tried to squash the yearning for freedom, but yet it just took another form where people found spiritual freedom through faith in Jesus.
It is, because the truth set us free. I think after we, as students, we all knew we tried to rely on this social political institution to reform and to give us more freedom. I think in the end, we found only Christ can give us the full freedom. And even though the dictators continue to imprison and to bond us physically, they can never bind us spiritually on our souls.
Yes. And then next in your life, it shows that God has a sense of humor. You began to teach Communist Party officials English. Is that right?
Yes. That's a part of God's humor, I guess.
Yeah.
Wall Street Journal did a profile calling me as God's double agent. That's my the title of my memoir, called God's Double Agent. And partially is after my graduate school, I found this job teaching English to the Communist Party leaders in the Communist Party school as a full-time faculty members during the daytime. In the evening and the weekend, I was as busy as every other preachers and starting Bible study groups and house church and even underground Bible school.
Wow, so living a double life at that time.
Kind of, but I was not ashamed of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And then after the Communist Party and the Chinese security learned that I was behind of this, then my wife and I were both imprisoned in 1996 mm-hmm. for being accused of so-called engaging illegal evangelism.
Oh, okay. So eventually your double life was exposed and then you were in prison. Then what happened?
Yeah, we were imprisoned for about 2 months, and then after we were temporarily released, we immediately were put under house arrest, and then my wife was pregnant without pregnancy permit. You know, in the Communist Party system, you have to get even a pregnancy permit card.
Oh, wow.
For the first child.
Yeah.
You need a quota by the family planning committee of your work unit, and we could not get that even after we got married for 3 years. And so if she's caught, then a forced abortion would happen. So
oh, wow.
We escaped from Beijing and hiding in the countryside for a while, and in order to protect our first child. And then by God's grace and really miracles happened, we were able to escape out of China and into Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. At that time, Hong Kong was still under the British control in 1996. Mm-hmm. And so we were stuck in Hong Kong. Our son was born as a refugee without nationalities in Hong Kong. But God is faithful and gracious, and we were admitted as U.S. refugees to the United States 3 days before Hong Kong was turned over to China in 1997.
Oh, wow. Just in time to get out.
Yeah. It was really very, we were counting down the clock for the handover and ready to be handed over to Chinese prison if we were not admitted into a free country.
So then you go to the United States. What was that like?
That's correct. I mean, here we go. We landed at the land of freedom, and I felt, sees my children. I mean, were able to sleep peacefully without worrying about their parents being arrested, harassed, or for holding a Bible study. So I couldn't just sit still while I was receiving the phone calls, information from my persecuted brothers and sisters in China on a daily basis.
Oh, you were able to keep in contact with them?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So that's why I felt, you know, the Bible also teaches us to remember those who are in prison as mm-hmm. if we yep. are fellow prisoners. So I think one of the ways I could remember and walk with my persecuted brothers and sisters is to be a voice for these voiceless brothers and sisters. So we established China Aid mm-hmm. with the purpose to walk with the persecuted by advancing religious freedom for all in China with the three E approaches, by exposing the abuses of the persecution, by encouraging the abused, and by equipping the leaders of the persecuted. So that's the mission of China Aid.
Okay, and so what are some of the things that you've been doing with China Aid?
Yes, for the past 17 years after China Aid was established, we had been the leading voice for those persecuted brothers and sisters. I mean, even as late as the day before, we have heard multiple house churches were raided and attacked. And so we got the firsthand information. We immediately dismantled to the State Department, to the U.S. Congress, and to other media so that their stories can be heard. So some type of pressure can be put to the regime. The persecution has been escalated very, very rapidly in the past few years. And we also help those persecuted brothers and sisters by providing family prisoners funding and to support their children's education of those prisoners. And in some instances, when those persecuted were facing the imminent life danger, we had to engage rescue effort. So we rescued over at least several hundred people.
How does that work?
In the past Yes.
How does that work? How mm-hmm. do you rescue people?
Well, by God's grace, we over the years established an underground railroad, basically enable us to take them to the safe relocation out of China first, and then with the help of many governments, including the United States and Netherlands and UK and South Korea. So we're able to rescue them to a safer location, and most of them landed in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. So you hear different things about persecution of Christians in China. For a while, it looked like things were starting to become a little bit more free, but now you're saying that it's going the other way. What is the case in China?
Well, the persecution against the Christians in China had absolutely worsened and deteriorated, I mean, in the level that we have not seen since the Cultural Revolution 40 years ago. Last year, we have seen over 100,000 Chinese Christians were detained, and we have seen over 50,000 of them were physically and mentally abused and tortured. And for the first time since the Cultural Revolution, we saw the Bible burning organized by the Chinese government. For the first time since the Cultural Revolution, we noticed and see the nationwide campaign to force the Chinese children under 18 years old to renounce their faith mm-hmm. With a prepared form. And even the medical personnel like nurses and doctors were all ordered to renounce their faith if they have their Christian faith. And certainly we have seen the 21st century kind of concentration camp, even to other faiths, that's happening in Xinjiang, West China, to this very ethnic minority in China called Uyghur minorities. Mm. And so over 1 million of them are in the concentration camp. Basically,
wow.
The Chinese government is engaging ethnic cleansing and genocide.
Yeah.
And yeah, for the Christians, we have seen like thousands of churches were being banned and destroyed. I mean, even the government sanctioned churches, thousands of them mm-hmm. were banned. And
government-sponsored ones.
Yeah. So wow. Basically, the President Xi declared a war against faith and Christianity, against the church. Mm. And those college students were not allowed even to celebrate Christmas. In the universities. And so this is a major war.
Yeah. Now, of course, it's been like this to a certain extent for forever. I mean, for years in China, but you're saying it's getting worse. I'm just wondering if you could please explain to me, why are the communists, the leaders, so threatened by faith? It's not just Christianity, but specifically Christianity. What is it about Christianity that they feel so threatened by it?
You have a very good point, Eric. I mean, in the Chinese church, we have a famous saying that one more Christian, one less criminal. One more church, one less prison. You know, after all, the Christian believers are the most peaceful, you know, loving, caring.
Yeah, they're good citizens. Why do they want to bother them?
But somehow it must be a spiritual thing. This Communist Party under this President Xi Jinping took Christian faith, especially as a national security threat, as a threat to the regime existence.
Wow.
So he masked this persecution all in the name of the national security, the state, they call the regime security. So it must be very spiritual. They feel, when anything that is not under its 100% absolute control is regarded as the political threat. So when, in one sense, every week when over 100 million Chinese Christians are worshiping without the permit by the Chinese Communist Party, they felt that is a kind of a political defiant and a threat.
Mm.
So that's one reason that explains why they took such a harsh turn against the Christian faith. I mean, the Communist Party is engaging this so-called sinicization campaign in the name of to make Christianity look Chinese. They would install the face recognition cameras on every pulpit, every church, if they're allowed even to exist. And they would now even change in one instance last year, at least we reported, that when the group of Chinese Communist Party religious affairs inspectors inspected a church and found on the wall of the church there is a Ten Commandments, and one of the security leaders said, "Oh, President Xi wouldn't agree with the commandment," and they removed the first commandment, and 10 became 9 commandments. And so that is the real extreme to show how, you know, this is a spiritual war.
Wow. Well, final question for you. How is your family? Did any of them become Christians as well?
Yes, actually, the good report is I think the Chinese Communist Party has never learned the historical lessons. The more persecution there is in China, at least, the more believers, the more revival there has been. And my then girlfriend, and later on became my wife, Heidi, was my first spiritual fruit. And then my father was my disciple, you know, 1 year after I became a Christian. And then almost all my family members have already become Christians.
Oh, fantastic. So Christianity continues to grow in China despite all their efforts to persecute and squash it.
Absolutely. That's his, I mean, when Communist Party took power in 1949, there's less than 1 million Christians. And today in China, even a conservative estimate, the number of Chinese Christians has already reached to over 100 million.
Wow. Well, that's the good news. But of course, the bad news is the persecution that's going on as well. Bob Fu, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you, Eric, for having me.
Our guest today has been Bob Fu, who is the founder and president of China Aid, an organization which exists to expose human rights abuses in China. To find out more about China Aid, you can go to their website, chinaaid.org. That's China Aid, China, C-H-I-N-A, Aid, A-I-D.org, chinaaid.org. Also, if you want to find out more about Bob Fu and his story, his book is called God's Double Agent, The True Story of a Chinese Christian's Fight for Freedom. Find out more about his book, you can go to the website, chinaaid.org.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au.
Real Faith is a production of Vision Christian Media.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.